Retailer Pepkor has reported a 28% jump in half-year earnings, benefiting from the implementation of a global claim settlement by its parent company, Steinhoff International Holdings. We're now joined by CEO Leon Lawrence for a closer look at the performance. Leon, obviously these numbers include the impact of the claims from the Steinhoff process as well as the insurance from last year's July unrest. It means that normalized earnings are important here. What do earnings look like without these once-off impacts?
Well, the good news for us is that we could still achieve double-digit growth despite or excluding the settlement. So from that point of view, we're quite happy with the achievement and the performance over the first 6 months. I do think it was also good for our shareholders that we could recover the funds that we provided for through the settlement. But from a general performance point of view, very happy.
Yeah, it hasn't been very difficult for many retail investors to try and claim through this process. It's been a very complicated, complex process to claim. Can you just give us some more detail on how your Brazilian Avenida acquisition has bedded down as well? Because that seems to be fairly transformative in the overall strategy of the group.
Yeah, it's still early days, but we're very happy with the performance so far. You would have seen from the results that we've achieved, you know, we took the business over on the 1st of February, so it's early days. But we've achieved a 55% growth in like-for-like sales there, so that's very, very satisfactory. In terms of the expansion plans, that's going according to plan. We've got five or six stores opening before the end of the financial year, which is September. And then we've got another 15 stores planned for the next year. And obviously, you know, once we get the business prepared and ready for even faster expansion, then we'll expand faster. But overall, very happy with the first indications and the first little bit of performance that we're seeing from there.
And the impact of rising interest rates in Brazil, we see the central bank there front loading, being quite aggressive in the face of all of this rising inflation.
I think rising inflation and rising interest rates are going to happen everywhere, including in South Africa. You know, so we'll deal with it there as we deal with it here. I still do believe that when you're in the bottom end of the market, in other words, the discount and value sector of the market, then it affects you a little bit less than it does when you're more in the discretionary part of the market. Mm. So both here and in Brazil, we're both in those lower market positionings. And I believe that despite the challenges of that of inflation, we can still perform relatively well.
In fact, some might say that actually plays into your hands as consumers trade down from the middle segment down to the lower value segment. Is that the way you're reading it, and how are you looking to take advantage of that opportunity?
That's exactly why that was my answer. You're 100% correct. So yes, that defensive positioning does help one. A lot of consumers will buy down. And then also the fact that you're selling more basic product helps you a lot. So the assortment that we offer is much more of an essential assortment, and that helps you during these difficult times when people don't have the disposable income to buy higher priced items.
That said, we know here in South Africa through COVID, the social relief of distress grant has now become something of a sticky feature. It's one thing that we see in policy circles. You know, when you make a decision like this, very difficult to rein it in again, particularly at that level. What impact are you seeing that have on your volumes in more rural areas?
Well, I think the fact that we've got the 350 additional grants, 350 Rand additional grants that we've had since COVID, that's really helped us. What is interestingly enough, now that you mention it, what has happened this month during the month of May is that there's been a change in the payouts of the social grants and the 350 Rand grants. And the changes in terms of where it is being distributed. And that's caused a lot of people not to get their grants. And we can actually feel it in our figures in May already, in our numbers. So hopefully they can rectify that relatively quickly. Mm. But it plays an enormous role, not only in our business, but in business in South Africa overall, the social grants and the 350 that I mentioned.
Now, it also ties into a more broad, I suppose, existential question about South Africa and where we find ourselves currently. The July unrest, I think, were a big wake-up call to many in business as to the rising inequality, the discontent about slow economic growth. How do you as a business think about this now and your role in terms of CSI in agitating for faster economic reforms? How are you thinking about this as a board?
Well, I think the best way we can deal with that and the best CSI that we can provide is by providing the best prices possible to our consumers. As you know, we're the lowest priced business in the market, especially in PEP and Ackermans. And if we can continue creating that sort of value for our consumers, then that's almost a CSI project. That's beside all the other CSI that we do in terms of feeding schemes, clothing banks, et cetera. But just keeping on providing people that cannot afford more product and essentials that can give them dignity and pride in difficult times, then, you know, if we can continue doing that, then I think the business will do well and the service to our consumer will be good.
It's so good to hear about a, you know, a CEO thinking about the end consumer when a lot of the focus, and if you look at the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, it's about supporting local manufacturing, but not really thinking about what protectionism means to the end consumer at the end of the day if you're raising prices. It seems to be something of a juggling act. Can you just give us a sense of how COVID has firstly impacted your supply chains, whether or not you're thinking about onshoring a little bit more as a result, and how you're managing a lot of this volatility?
Yes, I think you summarize it correctly. There's a role for both. I mean, we support that we increase manufacturing in South Africa, and we've got a few projects that's running to enable some of the local suppliers to be able to do that, where we invest in their capabilities and in their capacity. But then also we've got to make sure that we get product in that's competitive and that helps the end consumer to make a living or to live and have dignity and respect. So it's a bit of both. I don't think the two are exclusive of each other and that you can achieve both at the same time. But it all depends on the type of product that you talk about. Some products are easier to onshore and others are more difficult to onshore. So it's about getting the right sort of ratio between the different types and categories of products.
And then lastly, Leon, your outlook for the next sector, what are you going to be focusing on as a management team?
Well, I'm confident that we can at least maintain what we've achieved in the first 6 months. We started very slowly. The first quarter revenue was relatively slow. I do believe that if you can remember last year, the riots and looting was in July. So we're running into that base. So that base is slightly lower than we would have normally had. And so therefore, I think that at least revenue in the second half will be better. But, you know, there are ups and downs, and we must just make sure that despite the ups and downs, that we get a sort of a consistent performance. And I think if you look over history of the last 10, 15 years, that's the one thing that we've been able to provide is consistent performance. And hopefully we can continue that.
Like one of your rivals, Mr. Consistency, shall we start calling Pepkor. Leon Lawrence is the CEO of Pepkor Holdings, reporting back on a fantastic interim period here on Business Day TV.